watchman live. Your voice is joyfully as one. Your King, see eye to eye, the Lord restoring Zion, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns.
For our shame.
majesty, he is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know. He is alive.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Yes, we know. He is alive.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Be nice. not afraid. Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne. He's on his throne. Oh, with his mighty power exalted, and within his hands great joy he holds. Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
Yes,
he's on his throne. With his mighty power exalted, and within his hand great joy he holds. Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
Yes, he's
on his throne. Oh, with his mighty power exalted, and within his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
He's on his throne.
And within his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
Yes, he's on his throne.
With his mighty power exalted, and within his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made,
and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne. He's on his throne.
With his mighty power exalted,
and within
his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
He's on his throne.
With his mighty power exalted, and
his hand great joy holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made,
and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
He's on his throne.
With his mighty power exalted, and within his hand great joy holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
He's on his throne.
Oh, with his mighty power exalted, and within
his hand great joy holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid. Intercession has been made.
Today I'm glad to say
he's on his throne.
He's on his throne. Yes, with his mighty power exalted,
and within his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made, and today I'm glad to say he's on his throne.
He's on his throne.
With his mighty power exalted,
and within his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Intercession has been made,
and today I'm glad to say
he's on his throne.
Yes, he's on his throne. With his mighty power exalted,
and within
his hand great joy he holds.
Don't despair, be not afraid.
Thank you. glad he's on his throne. He's never been impeached. No accusations have been ever brought against him. But he's alive, and he's a loving God. And I'm glad he's on his throne. Sometimes I have problems believing it in my heart. You ever get caught in a situation where you wonder, Lord, are you on the phone with somebody else? Do you hear my prayer? I can't get an email through. Can't get nothing through. And I'm here suffering. That's just a mind game that we all go through, the carnal mind will tell us those things. Man, God's gone fishing, man. You know what I mean? He had to have some time off, take a little rest. But he's on his throne, and he hears our prayers. And daily, the psalmist said, he provides us with his wonderful benefits. And God has a program that I'm glad I got in on, aren't you? I'm glad I took out a policy one day that I'm included in his wonderful plan of salvation. But he's on his throne, whatever we're going through today. You're sitting down in your rocker crying about a situation that you don't know how the end is going to be. God's on his throne. He's concerned about you. I appreciate the fact of knowing that we're serving a loving, compassionate God, that he cares about us. Through my darkest hours, I remember calling out to the Lord that Sylvia had just passed. And I wanted to know, do you understand what I'm going through? And the Lord spoke to me. Wasn't an hour later, wasn't a month later. But he spoke to me through his word, Brother Smith. And he said, I'm a man acquainted, well acquainted with grief and sorrow. I let it go. God cares about us. I appreciate him. He's comforted me. I've had things happen in my life that I couldn't wait on my prescription down to Walgreens to be filled. God has touched me on my bedside. And he's helping me right now. I've had weak spells all throughout the week. Felt like coming home from work and just get under the bed. You ever feel like getting under the bed? You feel so disappointed with yourself? But I'm not disappointed with the Lord today. Whatever troubles, trials comes my way, I want to thank God. Because I wasn't worthy to walk through those doors one day, but he brought me through, Sister Tyler. He said, I want to show you the way to heaven. What a strange and peculiar way. But I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I stayed and held on to his loving hand. He brought me through those doors. I thought, Sylvia, the first chance I get, I'm getting out of here. But I didn't. I'm glad I didn't try to escape. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, nothing shall ever separate me from the love of God. We're in his care. He cares about us. He's a loving Savior today. Well, I got up to take prayer request. I'd just like to be first. You don't mind? Please, pray for me today. I'm negotiating, quitting work, retiring, doing something. But I believe this circle will come back again. So I want to wait on the Lord. The scripture's been coming to my mind. Acknowledge him, and in all thy ways, he will direct your path. Yeah, I get disturbed. I get disturbed about things. I'm not exempt from that. I've got problems. I got tests. I got trials. I got a son in prison. Been a burden to me. But I believe God's going to bring me through. You know, a small testimony encouraged me here not long ago. And I felt like the Lord spoke through this young man. And this brother, Golden's son, what's his name? Spencer, I heard the Lord speak through him and said, the Lord's going to see us through this. The Lord, Brother Spencer, is going to see me through this. And God's going to see you through it. We're praying for one another. I appreciate this loving family that we have love one to another. We get it over to it. Anyone else have a request today you'd like to make known to the God I just told you about? Your family, all right? All right, God remembered my family. Wait a minute, she may need that microphone. She want to give a praise report about a prayer request. Yeah, let her get that mic. It's probably be profitable for all of us.
A little bit, a couple weeks ago, I went up for prayer for, I felt like the Lord was, I had a chemical depression. And I've had it for many, many, many years. And I've been on medication for it and everything. And I was terrified. If I went off of one pill, and I was taking 150 milligrams a day, three of them. And I...
and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. To view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Spirit of the Lord that I feel here today. I'm thankful I'm in this way. And that I'm in this church. That's where the Lord put me, so I ought to be thankful. Yeah, this is where God has put me and you. And we ought to be thankful for His order, where He's decided to put us, where we're to serve Him and learn of Him and lend our spirits. I believe you're the people God wants me with. Y'all evidently can help me more than anybody else. That's why God gave me my wife. She's able to help me probably more than any other woman. It's echoing up here, Brother Gene. I don't know if you can hear it or not. We're getting a little feedback, maybe a little bit too high. That's much better. I talked on hell in the Bible study today, so I thought it'd be good if I'd talk on marriage and home life here tonight, up here. There is a scripture in the Bible I gave. There's more than one, so I'm going to give one answer to the... In Proverbs 15:24, put it up there for me, Brother Painter, if you would. I told him, I said, there's scriptures in the Bible that says you can get out of hell. And I want you to find them. So here's one. I'm going to give you one of them. It said, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. So I just wanted you to know you can... If you're not wise, you're already in hell, but there is a way out. You can depart hell. You can get out of it. That's one place in the Bible that shows you that there's a way out of hell. And it's not so far away. It's kind of like heaven. Heaven's not very far. You can go out of one door. You can leave out of one exit door from heaven, go right straight into hell. And you can leave out a door from hell and get into heaven. It's not that far away. It's just a step a lot of times. It has to do with our will. But that doesn't have anything to do with marriage, and I'm not really trying to relate. I just had that thought. I thought I feel to talk on this today. And I want you all to know this. I'm really not. I don't have any particular person in mind. I felt the Lord. There's some things that's happened that made me think of it. Think that I should talk on it, but I feel like this is a message that we all need to hear from time to time. We need to go over. I wish I could think of the... I don't know if there were seven things that years ago we had a message going through the body, seven things you should never say to your wife or your husband. I wish I had those wrote down. I did write them down in my old Bible, but I don't think I ever transferred them over. And let me look right quick if I did. I don't think I did, but if somebody's got them, you might help me. I can remember some of them. One of them is, I'm leaving. Who's got them? Brother Oates. One of them is, I'm leaving. You should never say this to your spouse. He wrote this down. That was the last one. That's how come I remembered it. The first one is, you never do what I say. I don't know if you've ever said that or heard that said to you. Brother Oates, I'm rehearsing this for you. You've got this wrote in your Bible. Maybe you've never said this or heard it since you wrote it down. You're just like your mother, our father, You're just like your daddy. You're not listening to me. Ooh, that one hits me pretty hard. I saw Lee Majors on TV yesterday advertising hearing aids. My wife, as soon as she saw it, she said, I'm going to get you one of them. I didn't say a word. This is the first she knows that I even heard her say it. I acted like I didn't hear her. And I heard her 2020. If there's such a thing as 2020 here, and I have it. Sometimes I don't know. I can't take it anymore. I've had it with you. I'm done with you. I'm sick of you. Never have said that. So have you, Sister Tally? Just laugh with the rest of them. That's Brother Bud told me. He said, "Look, when people say something to you straight out, and you don't want to give them an answer, just laugh." Somebody said, "I hate you." It's all your fault, Susan. This is all your fault. I don't want to talk about it. Brother Curtis, you ever heard that? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear no more of this. I don't hear it no more. That's probably Karen who hasn't heard that. I'm leaving. Tell Sister Smith. She used to tell me that. I'm leaving. I said, I'll help you pack. Thank God and Greyhound, she's gone, is what I was thinking. Right then, but of course I didn't mean it. It might have been the way I was feeling right then, but there's been times if you stay married long enough, you'll go through some things that you'll hear, brother. Brother Oates, you're not through with this yet, I'm sure. Thank you for your help. You stay married long enough, you'll say and hear every one of those things. Seven things. But you are to grow to a place in your marriage that you quit saying them and even thinking them. I don't know how. I don't know if I could relate to young people. I tell every young person that gets married, I counsel with them about marriage. I tell them, don't ever even entertain the thought of divorce. I've never really entertained it. I don't know how it got planted in me. I just somehow knew when you get married, it's a lifelong thing, and I just knew that you stick it out till you die. No matter what. No matter if it kills you, Brother Michael said. But I will say this, in these last 30 years, nearly 30 years of pastoring churches, and I have come to the realization that there are some marriages that are irreparable. A marriage can get in that kind of condition. Somebody was telling me just recently about someone that I'd have been here in this church. I don't think whoever it was is here now, but they was telling me about, I believe it was, well, maybe I better not say, that there, somebody in their family married the same woman and divorced her three times and married her again. And they finally made it. said that he was so determined. I heard Brother Leninger one time in a minister's meeting. A man was up talking, and he was wanting the ministry to help him with his case. And he said, "You know, my wife keeps telling me, using this scripture on me, as long as your spouse is pleased to dwell with you, she says, I'm still pleased to dwell with you. And you serve God." Said, it says stay together. Said, but it's got to a point that I live in one end of the house and she lives in the other end of the house. And her boyfriends come over and pick her up, take her out, bring her back home. He said, how long do I have to do this? Said, she says she's still pleased to dwell with me. Brother Leninger picked up a mic and he said, brother, the difference between you and me is when I got done with that woman, she wouldn't be pleased to dwell with me. I never will forget him saying that. He said, that's the difference between me and you. I would end that deal pretty quick. He said, you can fix that scripture. It depends on you. It's kind of like he was saying, you dummy. Anyway, let me read a few scriptures to you. I want to say some things about marriage, and I want you young people to listen. If you're married or not, you need this. Tiffany, are you listening to me? You plan on getting married someday? You do? Well, then I want you to listen to me this morning. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Somebody find me the scripture, I believe it's in Timothy, where it says, it talks about husbands and wives. It talks about their prayers can be hindered if they're not... I can't get my thoughts right now on that, but I want that scripture. Here in the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Now, notice, that doesn't say anything about not adorning yourself outward, or not wearing gold, or putting on apparel, or plaiting your hair. It doesn't say not to do it. It's just saying, that's not the way to adorn yourself to win a husband that's not saved. That don't let that be how you're trying to get influence him. I'm not trying to let down on any kind of standard that we uphold, but I'm just showing that this is not a scripture for a particular standard. But it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That's the adornment he wants to see, is a wife that's in subjection. God loves that. God created us to be that way. He created a woman to take her rightful place, and he created a man to take his. And I'll tell you today, the most difficult place in a marriage is for a woman to find her place and for a man to find his and to learn how to operate in it. And really, the church is situated somewhat like a marriage. Jesus said that, and so did Paul in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. when he said, I'm talking about the church. When he's talking about husbands, how to treat their wives. And like Christ gave himself to the church and died for it. That's how a man's supposed to love his wife and treat her. Then, wives. There's a part on this for wives. And it's a difficult thing when you first get married to get to work out the order of a marriage. And some people never work it out. Oh, they work it out, but they never get it worked out according to God's Word. I started out here several years ago. I counseled enough people in marriage that I finally decided to write a book. And I was on an airplane when I opened up my notebook, my notebook computer, and I started typing. And I entitled this book, Vicious Circle. And I started writing, and I got the first chapter wrote, and it was such a vicious circle, I thought, God, I'll never figure out how to write this. If you don't help me sort this out, I'll never figure out how to put this in words. Because I've noticed, let me read a little bit more here before I get into that, because I may not get back here for a while. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, verse 6, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. He picked up that verse in Genesis under the law, where the history of Abraham, where she called him Lord, answered him, and responded to him as Lord. But verse 7 says, likewise, you husbands, deal with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now that word weaker right there does not mean morally weaker or weaker in mind or spirit. Anybody that's got a wife knows that. Anybody that's got a wife knows that her mind's not even weaker than yours, and her spirit's not even weaker. If you don't believe that, just wait. Just, you ain't been married long enough, is all. But it means that wives, women are physically, God made them physically weaker. And the man takes the stronger part. And of course, being physically stronger, that builds things strong in his spirit and in his mind. That he obviously, a man obviously, can overpower most women. Of course, I've seen a few I wouldn't want to meet in an alley at night, but but most time they hook up with a man that's stronger than them. Some of them don't. Some of them wants a little weak guy they can run around. But giving honor to the vessel is being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's the verse I wanted, didn't it? That's the one I was wanting. That your prayers be not hindered. In other words, you men, if you don't take your rightful place and give the proper honor to your wife, and if you don't get this relationship worked out with her, both of your prayers in life are going to be hindered. You're going to have a hard time getting God to answer your prayers, because your life's going to be out of sorts. And God's continually going to want to correct this. And I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a society today that has corrupted marriages. In fact, they're not, more than 50% of every marriage is not making it in the world anymore. And matter of fact, more than 50% in the church aren't making it. I don't know how many outside of the church, but I... Yeah. Brother Michael said the statistics has went down. I'll tell you just how he said it. Because they're not getting married anymore, they're just shacking up. Well, that means living together. And that is the truth. People are getting to where they're afraid to make a commitment. Commitment minded. They're not committed to nothing. They can't make a vow and keep a vow. this, you know, I'll do this as long as it feels good, but if it's feeling good, I'm going to quit doing it. I wasn't raised that way. And my mother and dad divorced. They got a divorce when I was 12 years old. And my mother never did date another man, nor did she ever, she didn't much less get married. But her and dad got back together and remarried later. She held on to God and stayed in church. If you'd have known their relationship, you'd have said it's all his fault. But if you listened to her after she got older, she'd say, I've done a lot of things that caused a lot of problems in our marriage. And so, it's difficult. And I want to add this in here that, did y'all realize that's what we're going through in the body right now? Is a ministry that knows how to treat the church right. And a church that knows how to submit properly to the men of God that God's put over. That's what God's working on. God gets that right, He'll harvest this world. When He gets a ministry that knows how to treat a church like Jesus would treat it, and when He gets a church that'll respond to Jesus like the early church did, God will harvest this world. It'll bring up children in the way that they are to go, and they'll not depart out of it. I was saying earlier that I've counseled a lot of people in marriage, and here's what I found. I found I'm going to tell you that it's more common than uncommon in today's world. That men have become weaker and women have become stronger. And most families that come into the body of Christ, the order of their household will be turned around. Their marriage will be out of order. What I found is that, especially counseling with a lot of people, if a young girl is raised up in a home where her mother is stronger than her daddy. In other words, her mama runs the house. She's more in charge than the man. I'm going to show you in a minute how that works, why it works. And if a man grows up in a home where a woman is stronger, they'll never, hardly ever, marry someone that comes out of an opposite situation like that. If a boy grows up in a home where mama's the boss, he never would feel comfortable around a woman that would just submit herself. He's going to feel more comfortable around a dominating woman, or a woman that takes charge, a woman that is strong. And the reason he feels better is because he's never seen a man really take charge. He wasn't raised that way. And he feels secure with a strong man. And so he's going to, you know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. I used to think my dad was 6'1" and he was a he-man. He really was. I'm not just joking. When my dad was 60 years old, I went out to the farm, and one day I worked with him all day long helping him build a barn. And I'm honest about this. I'm ashamed to almost tell it, but he worked me in the ground that day. I couldn't hold a candle to my dad when he was 60 years old. And I ain't no weakling when it comes to working. I can pick up my end of it, and I can stay with you. In fact, a lot of young men can't stay with me if I get ready to work. In fact, I've had a lot of them get on to me because they say, you don't take no breaks, you don't even stop for lunch. But I was raised that way. I was raised, you know, just when you got a job to do, get busy and get it done. When you get done, eat, you know, have a feast and kick your feet, just prop your feet up. So, you know, I don't know. It was just built in me. But I thought my dad was a very, you know, he was. He was a very strong man, and he was too strong, as a matter of fact. But my mama, you know, she's just 4'10". Dad was 6'1". She really, I'll just tell you all the truth right here in front of her. She's 4'9 and a half, and she fudged a half an inch all of her life because she just didn't want to be less than 4'10". She'd have loved to have been 5 foot, but she could never find a pair of 4 and a half shoes that would hold her up high enough to get to 5 foot. So anyway, it kind of looked like Mutt and Jeff, and I guess I took the Mutt side on a part of me, but I've got my dad's frame but my mama's little old short legs. And really, if I'm sitting down, I'm big as most 6 foot men. When I stand up, they want to know when I'm going to stand on her up the rest of the way. But anyway, because of that, my height's really never bothered me that much, like some people get so complex about it. Of course, having a name like Mickey and being called Mickey Mouse all my life, it's kind of like a boy named Sue. You know, you got to be tough. It'll make you tough. I get to where now a lot of times I tell people my name, I just say Mickey, like Mickey Mouse. You know, that way I get to punch in first. It kind of takes a wind out of their sails. But there's many cases like this. And then even the cases, I was going to tell you about Mom and Dad. You know, I thought she was, you know, she was little and Dad was so such a he-man kind of guy, man's man, I guess you'd call it back in his day. And I thought Dad was always the boss. I heard Mother say a few times, you know, somebody'd say something about her being little, and she'd say, dynamite comes in small packages. and she could blow up, you know, she could make quite a scene. If she got on the rampage, she got mad. She could do, you know. But she wasn't very big. She just, you know. I remember one time when I was, you know, thought I was grown. I remember she got so mad at me, she picked a shoe up and threw it at me. I just caught it and tossed it back at her. Ooh, that made her mad. She went to looking for something big to hit me with. But I've examined, since I've been pastoring, I've examined Mother and Dad a little bit in my mind. She was a lot more powerful than I knew she was. And of course, all you women, y'all do have these little power, I don't know what you'd call them, surges. Yeah, that's good. It's really not a surge because I guess it is, but it's like it's readily available. They've got reserve power surges. But men, honestly, men that are strong men, they generally are over strong. I mean, it's hard to get the balance in this. It's hard to get the balance into how to love a wife, treat her right, give her the proper honor, give her a proper place. And it's hard to love a husband and not, you know, I don't know. I never have been a wife. I've always thought I'd make a good one at times. You know, there's times when I take Sister Smith coffee and the bread. Every morning I take her coffee in the bed. And I tell her when I hand it to her, I say, wouldn't I make a good wife? But we've just kind of got that worked out. You know, that's just my deal. That's what I'm supposed to do in the mornings, get coffee made. As a matter of fact, if I don't get it in there to her, I'll get a text on my phone. It'll say, coffee, please. Sometimes it says, help. Sometimes it just says, coffee. And if I don't answer it after a while, I'll hear, hey, have you got your phone? Well, Sister Smith and I got married. Now, here's the deal. I said you normally wouldn't, you know, marry someone like if you came from a mother that you know, was widowed and didn't remarry. She had to be strong. She had to be the one in charge. If a boy comes out of a family like that, he'll generally find a pretty strong woman. And let me say this, girls that come out of families where women are strong and men are weak, it's hard for them to put up with a strong guy. It's hard for them to get around a guy that takes charge, because they're afraid of that. They've always seen a woman, you know, taking charge of things. And when a man takes charge, they feel so, where are you going, Sister Dolores? So, they feel like they're being overwhelmed. Now, Brother Larry's leaving. Y'all may need this. Don't y'all come on back. He said, I'm going to get what she gets, no more, no less. I'll be back when she comes back. Anyway, what was I saying right there? Yeah, she feels overwhelmed with a man just smothering her with authority. And of course, our temperaments have something to do with this. I'm choleric. Of course, I've mellowed out over the years. If you don't, some of you may not believe that, but ask my wife. I had a man in my church back when I first started pastoring, and we was learning the traits. You come on back now, Brother Bryant. So, anyway, he told me, he said, we're studying, you know, the four temperaments. He said, you are 100% choleric. You don't have a smidgen of nothing else in you. And he was probably right. I was a very dominating guy, and you couldn't win an argument with me. Brother Doug York used to tell his wife, I ain't talking to him. You can't win an argument with him. I'm not going to talk to him because he's going to be right no matter what. He never did tell me that, but he told her that several times. She told me. Now I'm letting him know I knew it. Well, we've been together for almost 40 years, so he knows. Here's what happens in marriages. Let's first take the case where here's a woman that comes out from a home with a dominant, where the woman is dominant. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a woman being a strong woman with a lot of that can really help a man in a lot of areas. But it's learning this balance. Let me show you what happens in most cases. They fall in love with each other. I was going to tell you about me and my wife first. My wife was choleric. She's a choleric sanguine. I'm choleric. Choleric. I'm choleric sanguine, but I do have a little melancholy in me, but it's just a smidgen. And she tried to rule me. Of course, everyone, I don't care what your temperament is, every woman living will try to rule her husband. It's just natural. I mean, you know, it's not normal. I mean, to learn how to let somebody else have the final say or be in charge, that's not easy. That's not easy for anybody. I mean, anybody's had a job, had a boss, it's not easy to learn another person's ways and let them be in charge. And of course, if they're not godly, if they're not led of God, if God's not touching their life and helping them, and which, by the way, if a man's not really submitting his life to God and the ministry that God has him and his wife under, then it's difficult for a wife to submit to him. It's much easier when she can see him submitting to the Word of God and seeking God, and then... You know, all of these things play a factor where hopefully you'll have a minister that has got some balance in his life, that he's not dominating or weak, whatever, that he's got enough of God in him to lead a church properly. And but me and my wife, I mean, we started right out. I mean, just like at war. I mean, we got married, and it was wonderful for a few weeks. And I mean, it was just a few weeks before hell broke loose in our home. You know, I told you, one night, somehow or another, it got in my mind. I sat right up in bed, and I said, "Honey, I want to tell you some things. You know, I'm in charge of this marriage, and I want you to know how things are going to be." I said, "Here's some things I don't want you never to do or say to me." And I lined them out. One thing I told her, I said, "If you ever slap me or hit me, I promise you I'll hit you back." I said, "I won't put up with that. Don't you ever say this to me. Don't you ever call me this." I want y'all to know, before midnight bell struck, she tried everything. Yeah, you just tell a woman, "You ain't going to do this, and I guarantee they'll show you I am going to do it." Unless they really love God and you, and they may love God and you both, it's still a hard problem not to try it. Ain't it? Where's Sister Tally? Is she... Am I already getting... Oh, I thought I was already getting questions. We want this on tape. I like to think that I won. You know, but we worked it out. We finally got things worked out, but I'll tell you, we had a hard time because we crossed so many different places that she didn't agree with me on something, and it's hard for her to bite her tongue or not say anything. And, you know, I said, "I don't want to hear them anymore." And in fact, I said, "Shut up!" I said that at least once, hadn't I, honey? Honey, we don't have to tell it all out here. Just let me do this. Um.